Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Greetings, citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in geek. I am joined this week by my co-hosts and friends, the Blur Girl, Kara Mahorn, and Sci-Fi Wire's own editor-in-chief, Adam Swiderski. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
The whole team is back together again.
Yes. That's exciting. Welcome back, Kara.
Thank you.
Gosh. Yeah, this is like the 1 week, and then next week I'm in Mexico.
That's right.
But maybe I'll call in. We don't know yet. It's a mystery.
Only if you do the entire thing in Spanish.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So get to work. Get that Duolingo going.
Yep. It'll be, yes, I'll use that.
You got a week.
Oh my God,
I'll use that high school
so
Spanish
awful.
Class. That,
it'll
yeah,
be awful.
It'll be fantastic.
I could do it.
I'm one of those bad Americans that really doesn't, I don't have that one at the ready, unfortunately. I'm sorry, everyone. Anyway, there's stuff going on. There's Star Trek stuff. There is gaming stuff. There is irons a-fisting. So wait, that sounds terrible. You know what? It's fine. A lot of things to talk about, but first
yes.
We do a thing at the top of every episode where we talk about the things we're personally geeking out about. Adam, is it okay if we continue doing that?
Oh, I feel so touched. You brought it back.
I did.
I have to think about it. I'll get back to you in like 20, 30 minutes.
Okay.
No, let's do it.
Oh. Oh,
for those of you new listeners, this
joke.
Happens
that was
all
my
the time.
Wicked sense of humor coming
yes.
to the fore.
Adam, you're so clever.
I know. It's hard.
And unfortunately, that means that you have to start.
That's fine.
What are you geeking out about?
I am geeking out about a new video game for the first time in a while, although it's an old video game that just became new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No Man's Sky. Which is,
oh, yeah, it is new. It is, yeah. What is old is new again.
That's
yes.
right. No Man's Sky is a basically space set survival game with procedurally generated planets. And I never played it the first time around. And then they just massively overhauled it. They put out this update called No Man's Sky Next that supposedly, based on everything I was reading, everyone was like, oh, my God, this game is incredibly fun now. So this past weekend, my wife was out of town. So that means a video game blitz is definitely was in the cards, and I downloaded No Man's Sky for my PlayStation and played it, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. The thing is, I've never played a lot of survival games because I know that's kind of a genre now, and it became really big on Steam and everything, where you have to, like the Minecraft thing, where you just, like, I have to find like mine this rock for this mineral so I can make this metal, which means I can build this thing.
I feel like in things like Warframe, there's a little of that. Like you have to like. Find the pieces to make the weapon.
Right. Yeah. And it's like,
or
I think
you can just
that,
pay for it.
I think that triggers something very, deep and primal in humans, our hunter-gatherer instincts, because that's basically what you do for a lot of this game.
Is hunt
like,
and gather.
Oh, I have to build this device. So that means that I have to have a sheet of metal. And to make that metal, I need to have this ore. And to have that ore, I need to go to this planet. So
what happens if somebody attacks you while you're trying to build this thing?
Well, that depends. If you found the metal to make the ore, to make the thing that allows you to build the gun, then you're okay. Otherwise, you run like hell.
And it happens in real time. You have to, like, it takes 12 hours to smelt
the
exactly.
iron. Yeah, exactly. It's years and years of mining. No, it's actually very easy and fun. But it's just really cool. And, like, really, it's totally open so you can explore. And it's just interesting, the very first planet you get on has, like, the one I was on anyway, was super hot. So I could only be outside of my ship for, like, a few minutes at a time. And it created this really fun vibe of like, I'm sitting in my ship thinking about there's a rock over there. If I can get out there, I can mine that rock and come back to my ship and before I fry. And it was just this whole thing in this one, you get those cool moments. Like I actually got lost once and I was like, oh God. And I'm just running for my ship. I was like, maybe I'll get
Because you didn't want to get
burned out. I'll have one sliver of health left. And then I fell in a cave. And the cave was cool. Shielded from the sun. So it was just like this moment of like serendipity. And then, of course, it's just
But then you have to figure out what you're going to eat.
And the way the world expands, or the way the universe of this game expands, is very cool. It's like you start out stuck in this one region of this one planet because you can't go far from your ship. And then you learn how to deal with that. And then you finally get your ship working, and suddenly you can fly around, and then you can get off the planet, and suddenly you've got a whole solar system available to you. And then it's just kind of like expands and expands in a really cool way. I know one of the big aspects that they added with Next was multiplayer, like true multiplayer. And unfortunately, that is not something I'm interested in.
I would like to
not encounter any other people
all by myself and make
it's called No Man's Sky. I want no man's in my sky.
I don't want people.
And
no people in my game.
So I've been playing a completely single player, and I'm sure the multiplayer experience is fun for those who enjoy that kind of thing. That's what I've read. But I've been having a great time with it. I mean, it's not like, you know, there's not a story, and it's not like this, or they kind of layered one in, but it's most of your time is spent gathering stuff and building stuff and everything. And it's been fun so far. So I'm trying not to, I actually had to cut myself off after this past weekend, because my productivity in various other pursuits went down the toilet.
Yeah, your wife was yelling at you.
No. It's not so much that. I have a lot of other projects I'm working on that I want to do things with. And it does not involve, you know, spending 6 hours blasting rocks with a laser.
Metal.
Yes, exactly. It's not. I went through that with World of Warcraft, and it was bad. It was bad, bad. So, yeah.
So I'm gonna
ration my No Man's Sky time, but it's really fun. A really fun game, especially for people who are into exploration and space stuff. And not like accurate space stuff, but sci-fi space stuff. And it's like you get to this space station and there's these aliens, and I haven't learned their language yet. So I have to go around like learning one word at a time. And it's really cool. It's just a lot of fun. Anyway, so check out No Man's Sky next.
Google Translate on this planet.
Even if you tried it before, try it again, because it's a very different game now. That's all I'm going to say.
Cool.
There you go.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to make a podcast about it, and then you'll be like me, where everything that you do that you love will be work. And that's great.
Yeah.
Cameron, what's winning your week?
Are you complaining about having to read comics and watch movies again?
not I. Who would do such a thing?
Well, what I'm geeking out about this week is actually a new Image comic called Crowded. It's funny. I knew the comic was coming out this week, but then for some reason I wasn't paying attention and found out that it's already been optioned by actress comedian Rebel Wilson. So it's actually already going to be made into a movie. Crowded is basically not that far in the future. It's written by Christopher Sabella, art by Rose Stein and Ted Brandt. They're a great team. And basically, it is about the sharing economy. Like, currently, you know, things like Uber and all the other
apps like Fiverr.
And no, not just that. Just like you can rent your expensive gowns and clothes to wear to other people. Things like that. You can rent time to spend with people. So that kind of thing is happening all the time in this world. And the main character, Charlie, makes her living doing that. Everything from dog walking to tutoring to, you know, probably being on Fiverr. But in this future, you can also kill people. There's a crowdfunding app called Reaper. If you decide that there's something that you don't want, or that there's somebody that you want that has bothered you or has stolen from you, you can try and take them out. But at the same time, there's another app called Defender where you can actually hire a bodyguard. So Charlie's minding her business one day, he's coming out of a coffee shop and finds this old woman pointing a gun at her and realizes that somebody has put a contract out on Reaper. She hires a bodyguard on Defender. And ends up hiring, because she doesn't have that much money, the lowest rated bodyguard on the app, Vita. And it's really, really funny. Charlie and Vita have a very interesting relationship. But it's basically really, really funny because it's not so far in the future that it's like, oh my God, we could get there. We could get to this, you know, we're crowdfunding and doing everything like that. So
except for murder being illegal.
Well, that part, yes. There's the purge aspect to it,
yeah.
That we hope we don't get to.
I don't see that being an industry that gets disrupted. The murder industry?
Yeah. And so the interesting thing also, though, about a lot of the...
You know what we could have, though? We could have an article about how millennials are killing murder.
By not going to the library?
They killed mayonnaise.
By not going to the library. They won't buy houses.
Yeah, they're just going through the M's.
That's right.
They won't go to the library. They won't eat mayonnaise. And they're now dead. So the interesting thing about it, though, is every reaper has a lot of paperwork because they have to clear with the police and everything that this was a licensed hit. So it's like licensed sanctioned hits are okay in this world. Anyway, the issue is clearly why do so many people want you dead? Because usually people maybe have one or two people that want them dead. It's like literally every day, it's like Kickstarter. Like it's like every day the numbers are going up for how many people want Charlie dead. So she's clearly done something, but she hasn't. It hasn't been revealed what it is yet.
She probably said something on Twitter.
Right, basically. And now everyone wants her dead. What's really, really funny is that it's very clear that Vita is military trained, has been through something. The reason why she has low ratings on Reaper is because, Defender, is because she doesn't delight in killing people. Her whole thing is like, my job is to keep you alive. And people want, many times people want it to be as violent and as horrible as possible. And she just refuses to do that. She's like, no, my goal is for you to live. So she's like, well, you have thousands of low ratings. She's like, and they were alive to leave them. So it's this really interesting thing on what we are willing to deal with and put up with. And also how to, if you take like our phones and stuff away from us, having an actual personality and learning how to like talk to people. But it is the writing is hysterical. I got to interview Chris Sabella actually for my column this week. And it's just, it's really a matter of fact, very funny thing. And I think these two characters, I think this is going to be a really big comic from Image. And that's what I'm geeking out about this week.
Cool. That's that.
Yep. Once again, Danny, no, I always want to know what you are feeling.
Well, I don't.
Wow.
Didn't you miss me?
This is the twist.
You missed
really
me.
I'm not the villain here. It's Karima. It's been Karima all along.
All along.
Oh,
So go. Shoot.
All right. What's winning my week? A bunch of stuff. They're Hillywood, which is two sisters that do a lot of cosplay. They put out parody videos. They did their second Supernatural YouTube video. And like it's done in a Ghostbusters style. They do the Ghostbusters dance. And basically almost every actor that's ever been in Supernatural appears in the video.
Really?
It's amazing. It's very, it's like a 10-minute thing.
We need links. After the show, we need a link.
It's adorable. So that is on there. I got my new box full of Vinegar Syndrome Blu-rays, which included a weird old 1970s French Connection-esque like local low-budget film called Shot, and in this movie called Wonder Women, which is like really classic like weirdo exploitation. Like good 1970s stuff, but I have to say the number one thing that won my week, and this is why you should be happy that you asked me, Adam, I mainlined in like a day all of Cobra Kai.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm still working through it.
So good.
It's so good.
I'm still working through it.
This is the Darth Vader origin story we deserve.
Yeah.
That is what it is. Like when I started watching it, my concern was that like we were going to go like, oh, he's not so bad. Like this is a redemption story, but it really isn't. That's what I like about it. And like nobody's like everybody shades of gray.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's cool, because, like, is there a reason that Johnny Lawrence is the way that he is? Yes. Does that make him a good person? No.
Right.
And is Cobra Kai, as a concept, purely evil? No. Does it come at a price? Can it bring out the worst in people? Yes. And I really had no expectation going in. The reason that I finally watched it was because Rotten Tomatoes ran a thing that was like a list of like the top TV shows of the year, and it was number one.
Yeah.
It had the best rating of anything, and I was blown away by that. I said, really? A YouTube Red series, that's the best thing that came out this year. I don't believe you. So I sat down and was like, I'm going to prove this wrong and watched it. And like, I mean, I don't know if it's the best. I don't know if it's my favorite, but man, once I started watching, I could not stop.
It's great. And both of those guys do phenomenal acting work.
Oh, yeah. And it's great. It's great having Ralph Macchio come back.
Yeah.
And, like,
And I was really like, when they set it up at the beginning, I was like, okay, now Daniel LaRusso is not going to be sympathetic. He's going to be a bad guy. This whole thing. It's exactly what you said. Yes, Daniel LaRusso has flaws and has problems, but he also has good parts, and so does Johnny Lawrence. You know, it's just so emotionally rich.
Yeah, it was not.
Especially relative to what you would expect.
Yeah, I mean, like, so what's interesting about it is that it, without spoiling anything, it takes the beats of the original Karate Kid stuff. Like, it's there. But instead of those being the things that they spend a lot of time on, like, here's the wax on, wax off, you know, like, it's in there, but they don't take 2 hours to figure that out. Right. That's done in, like, 5 minutes. Honestly, it's there and then it's gone. The stuff that is relevant is why. So, like, why does that matter? Why is that still important? What's happening in these two dudes' lives? What's happening with the people around them? And especially the stuff that I like is the kids of the Cobra Kai Dojo. I mean, man, they're really interesting. Like, there's his star pupil, and then there's, like, two other pupils, I would say, in specific that he's got. And all three of them do get something important out of it. Like, it's not all bad news. And I would say one of them in particular, I would say, as far as I can tell, pretty much just got the good stuff so far. I don't want to say who it is, but, like, one of the three seems mostly better. Mm-hmm. Seems mostly like a happier, more confident, functional person. So it's not as though you can't get good things out of this idea of, like, being the first to attack and not showing mercy. Because, you know, if you're a person that's suffering, if you're an oppressed human being, you might feel justified in striking first. And in some cases, that might honestly be the best thing to do. So I think that that's a really interesting wrinkle. And when I got to the end of it, there was one moment where I was like, oh, shit. And then there was another moment where I was like, you never know who might show up.
That's right.
But, man, that ending, really, I got to it and I was like, how am I going to wait for the second season of this?
Yeah.
I might watch it.
It.
I've only gotten to episode 3. I'll sit down and I have YouTube right now. So
and I mean, the good news is, to me anyway, it a big part of, I think, how much people appreciated it at the beginning was the surprise, because it's YouTube red. It's this nostalgia play, you know. Nobody was expecting it to be a compelling show, you know. And people are like, "Whoa!" But the good news, I think, is that even with that shine off of it, it's still just really good. It's not like a thing where it's like, "Oh, because of the surprise, everybody's giving it, you know, grading it on a curve."
Yeah, I mean, like, if you have a nostalgia for Karate Kid, gosh,
yeah,
you will get something extra out of it for sure. But I think if you were not huge on Karate Kid, I do think it's still a compelling narrative. I have one question, Adam. How is the fight choreography in it? Because I would not be able to.
It's not
tell.
Bad. I mean, you know, it's not. We're not talking like Jackie Chan film level, but it is. You know, it's on a par with the karate. I mean, listen, it's not like enormously technically amazing. But it's good for what it is.
All right.
You know, and the Karate Kid did not have good fight choreography, you know, like.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I come to you to answer these
questions. Yeah, it was serviceable in the telling of the story. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that that's the thing that a lot of people forget about physical things like fight choreography in films and stuff, is that it tells us, it's not just there to look cool. It's supposed to be. You're supposed to tell a story, and the acting, there's acting involved beyond my fist is supposed to be in this place at this time, you know? There's conveyance of intention and like cause and effect and all this stuff. So that's where I think the first Karate Kid, it technically was not good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, someone who is a great karate master would look at that and be like, that's, you know, crazy. That's nothing. But it told the story well. And I think that that's where
Cobra Kai, I guess the punches have impact.
Yeah.
In a way.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Both emotionally and physically. Yeah,
I see what you did there.
So that's what I'm. And listen, like, again, I will be honest that I saw The Karate Kid when I was very young and impressionable, and so I have a soft spot for it. And I will forgive it the fact that it's not like, wow, Mr. Miyagi, his karate is, you know, not actually that impressive. But I will forgive that because of everything else around that movie and what it meant to me as a child. So yeah, it's not. I would say it's good and it tells the story it needs to tell. It's not, you know, impressive from a technical standpoint. You're not going to look at it like the hallway fight in Daredevil and be like, wow, how did they pull that off? And look at those guys doing this amazingly complicated shit. But it gets the point across.
Cool. Yeah, no, I love Karate Kid because it's a kid named Daniel who is a nerd who's from Jersey.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
And he looks so much younger than he actually is.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, sure. Hey, how about the news, gang? Some stuff happened. So Spock, the Vulcan, so nice they cast him thrice. The grandson of Gregory Peck, Ethan Peck, is going to be Spock.
Which I thought was hilarious because when I saw the actor, I'm like, wow, it's really funny because he looks kind of like a young Gregory Peck. And then they were like, his grandson.
Guess what? He is. So yeah, they
every time I hear that, I can only think of Willow.
Oh, wow.
Because Val Kilmer calls Willow F. Good Peck through most of the film.
That is a funny reference.
Peck, 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 Peck.
Wow.
Sorry, that's
what Oh, see, I think of the kid who beat me up that lived across the street, Doug Peck, when I hear that. Anyway,
was he related to Gregory Peck?
I hope not, because I want to have good feelings towards Gregory Peck instead of thinking about the kid that beat me up every day. Anyway, so Ethan Peck, they announced he's going to play Spock. They put a picture of him with like the whole Nimoy clan, including Adam Nimoy's wife, Terry Farrell, who played Dax, Jadzia Dax, on Deep Space Nine. So like, it's kind of like, it's cool. Like, it seems like everyone's kind of given him the seal of approval.
And I have to say that has been the best part of this for me. I mean, I'm not a Discovery fan. I'm not caught up, so I really need to do that.
We're going
to
bring you over.
No, well, I got to get the CBS All Access, but it was so nice for this to happen and there not to be that usual, like, oh my God, this person is horrible and terrible and should never be near this role. Like, admittedly, I'm not deeply tapped into the fan base, but I haven't seen a lot of negative reaction around it.
It's because he's a guy. I'm kidding. Well, kind of.
Lol. Got him.
But I will say this.
No, it's because he's a white guy.
Get it right or pay the price. Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. I did like this, and I did like the fact, actually, on the other end, that there wasn't screaming and yelling about, like, oh, and he's supposed to be Michael Burnham's stepbrother. I don't get it. I'm actually really happy. Really, really happy, because I got tired of hearing about Spock and seeing Spock's dad first season. I'm like, can we just see him? It's kind of like talking about Superman, but not seeing him for so long at Supergirl, and then seeing, like, him flying away, or a shoulder, or a hand. It's like, I'm glad that we're actually going to, and you haven't seen it, Adam, but it's not like it was a big gaping thing that was missing, but it is very clear because you saw the actor that played his dad, like, so many times with her, that it didn't make any sense that in this universe, and she had that connection, that Vulcan mind meld sort of connection, because she was raised in it. There's no reason that his son wouldn't have felt half of the things that he was going through, too. So it was one of those things like, can we please just see Spock already?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with him showing up. This is like one of those characters where in my mind it is fine. It's weird. Like, I never know what's going to bother me with a recast. But for some reason, I'm completely fine with them doing it.
And let's just be clear. No one's ever going to replace Leonard Nimoy.
Like, but I think genuinely, like, if you actually have, like, a big smiling picture of, like, his entire family with this guy, it does kind of go a long way. Like, I don't know.
It does.
Like, I don't require everybody to feel that way, but it certainly put me at ease.
And also, he's, and Trekkie fans are tough. So the fact that, like you said, Adam, it's been quiet, although I have not been on Reddit because mental health reasons.
yeah.
I don't know whether that in Reddit they're tearing this whole thing to pieces.
I mean, I haven't seen it. Like, I'm not doing a deep dive, but the thing is, traditionally, I don't have to. I usually, you know, if I see that news, like, you know, if I do a search for Spock on Twitter and just scroll through.
If you do a search for Spock, you're saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Then you shoot your Genesis device.
Search for Spock.
Anyway, sorry.
Sometimes.
And when you don't find him.
You find a child Spock, and then he grows up really fast.
The rat.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Please continue.
Sometimes the needs of the one outweigh the needs of the many.
Is that true?
In the case of Spock, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I scrolled through and I could not find any aggressively nasty, unhappy, furious. Everybody seems right. I don't know. I think that people are like either at this point, you're on board for Discovery and therefore you're pretty on board to give this a shot, or you already really don't like Discovery. And at that point, all you're going to say is, well, I'm already not watching Discovery anyway, so this doesn't matter to me.
Could it be that we are starting to move away from the idea of these roles being sacrosanct?
I would love to think that.
Because I'm thinking of three examples. I mean, we had What's-His-Face who played Superman, right?
Yes. And
who was great, you know, but there was never that. I don't remember there being a huge backlash to his casting either, where people were like, oh my God, this is horrible, or, you know, whatever. I'm sure there was some debate, but. And then, you know, we had Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo, who people certainly had thoughts, but it didn't feel, it was more based on like his performance and less
on. It wasn't
on
his look. It was
the idea of someone daring to touch the role of Han Solo.
Yeah.
And now we have this. So maybe this whole reboot, remake,
context
thing that we're doing.
I think context.
And Zachary Quinto, obviously.
Yeah.
Spock,
context matters. I think in this case it is that, they already had Zachary Quinto do it very successfully. At that point that, you know, Leonard Nimoy was there. He signed off on that completely. So I think that helps. And I don't know. Contextually, there's something about Discovery that's different. We talked about this the other week where I said, I don't know if Simon Pegg would want to step in and play the role of Scotty in this Patrick Stewart thing. But that's because Patrick Stewart is still playing Picard.
Right. Yeah, it's in the same universe.
I think that's what makes it different. It's like, he's there. Therefore, it would be weird if they recast somebody else to be alongside him that, like, wasn't a part of original Star Trek. Like, everybody on Discovery is new, you know? Yeah. Like, there already is a new Sarek. And again, it's like, it's the same thing. This is there. We've had three Sareks now. Yeah.
And even if Leonard Nimoy were alive, he couldn't play this Spock.
No,
because of the timeline.
Like, yeah, if he were alive, so, I think he would probably be there in the mix too. Like he would be picture.
Which is also why Zachary Quinto couldn't play it, because he's doing
Kelvin timeline.
Yes, and also if they're doing what I think they're doing, which is showing Michael and Spock, basically when she's about to go into the academy or when she's just younger than that, it's just even Zachary can't pull that off. He's not like he looks old.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But
no, I'm kind of interested to see. This is like the other question that's been on my mind is how much are we gonna see of Spock? Is it gonna be that much? I mean, I don't think it's a cameo. I think it's got to be more than that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made a big deal about the casting.
Exactly, and I think they're gonna do what they did with his dad.
He'll show up a couple times.
Yeah, he showed up like three or four times, and then when she really, really, really needed him, like it was like. And towards the beginning, it was like two or three times, and then definitely flashbacks to explain like how the hell she got there. And then, and this really isn't spoiling anything. And then when she really, really, really needed him, the father, he showed up. So I personally think that's what they're going to do, like a little, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, although I'm still trying to deal with the fact that the new captain.
Pike.
Yeah, because I see Pike as who was in the movie. That was the one that actually was a little bit jarring for me. Also, maybe because I know he was an Inhuman. So I'm like, I can't see. Okay. I'm having problems. I'm waiting for a dog to just jump into the frame.
That's
from
funny.
Lockjaw to show up.
Yeah, I just think it's so, like it is different, I think, situation to situation. But yeah, I guess you're right, Adam. I do think that, like, to a degree, we're starting to be a less sacrosanct culture about certain roles, which is good. I mean, like,
yes,
you know,
I also think it's saturation. There's so many superhero shows and movies right now.
Well, and there's so many of these reboots, remakes, prequels where they're having to do that. I mean, the other one that just occurred to me is they're making a, you know, Lord of the Rings series on Amazon. And theoretically, at one point, it was going to be about, I don't know if that's still the case, but is Aragorn, like young Aragorn, was going to be the focus. And of course, Viggo Mortensen's performance in that role
teenager.
But it's an iconic performance, but they're going to have to recast it. And it's, I think it's just like, it's one of those things where it's happening so much now that if there was it'd be impossible for there to be outrage every time.
Yeah. Look, if they can bring back Magnum PI, man, they can bring back anything.
Lord.
That's true. But I can't get on board with that because no mustache. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's
the thing.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, no, I'm stoked for Spock. I'm spoked.
Spoked.
Spock stoked. Spoked. I made it up as a term.
Uh-huh. Oh, we're getting a t-shirt for you that says that. We're stocked. Spoked better.
Yeah. I don't know. The jury's out.
We're going to get off here and find out in Urban Dictionary that that word does not mean what we think it means.
I definitely need to go back and catch up on Discovery before the next season comes around.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I think it's worth
it. Okay,
is it available to stream anywhere other than CBS All Access?
It's still on the All Access.
The only thing I will say is this, and just prepare yourself. Even when you pay for it, there's still commercials.
You can pay for the no commercial version.
You can.
It's more money, but you can do it.
See if Sci-Fi will put that bill for you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sure.
That seems fair.
I'll write something about it. I write my article entitled, I Watched Star Trek Discovery.
There you go.
That's the entire theme and thesis of the article.
Man, the SEO on that is off
exactly.
the charts.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah. Woo!
And therefore, anyway, it's a business expense.
Yeah, so that is exciting. I almost feel like I should have started with the next topic because we were just come off of Cobra Kai. Like,
true.
Here we are. We'll just pretend like we did it. Cobra Kai, an example of like some good, fun martial arts fighting to a highly questionable series, Iron Fist.
Yes. It's too bad Angelique could not be here this week.
Yeah, that is
the awkwardness that would have entailed from us talking to her about Iron Fist might have been really interesting, given that she works for Marvel.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. No, but she was really funny. And she would probably still be able to talk, not like in detail, but because it's a podcast, she would be making facial expressions probably.
Yeah.
The
just
whole
so she
way.
Can keep her job, brother.
Yeah, so they dropped season two trailer. So did either of you watch the whole entirety of Iron Fist season one? Be honest.
Yeah.
You watched the whole thing?
I watched a good chunk of it. I had to fast forward through a lot because it was like,
I hate
myself
pretty much. No, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, I'm required to watch, like, it's always like, watch at least three episodes and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
and honestly, like, that's what I did. I watched three episodes and was like, I'm not watching the rest of this. It's shit. No thanks. Bye. So I have to say I'm coming at it from a pretty negative place. I really did not. Like, what I watch of Iron Fist, I hated. I just found it really loathsome. I found the character really unlikable. And I don't. Man, here's what I know. He was a little bit better in Luke Cage season two. Like, I think
Chaeyoung had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, like, that helped. And, of course, I'm down to watch anything involving Daughters of the Dragon. But I'm still worried about the rest of it. Like, I still find myself going, like, if I had my way, if it was up to me, I would just say, hey, does Luke show up? What episode? I'll watch that.
Yeah.
He doesn't,
unfortunately.
So it's not that. So, like, okay, Daughters of Dragon, is that there's going to be? I know for
there's
a fact because that's
be
in the
more
that's
of
in,
it.
That's
there's
in the trailer.
Well, and
there's going to be more. And I'll be full disclosure. I've seen the first two episodes of the next season. I can attest to the fact that the fight scenes are better. I can attest to the fact that that Danny and Colleen are still together for some god known reason. Davos is very angry, but has amazing suits.
Oh, not poor Sir Davos.
That's what I was thinking when I watched the trailer. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The Game of Thrones crossovers keep coming.
the fight choreography is better this season than it was last season. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. As you guys, I'm sure, I know Adam has some thoughts even looking at the trailer. And I got even a chance to talk to some of the cast at and the new showrunner at San Diego Comic-Con, and it really is like, I don't want to say they're acting like the first season didn't happen, but they're kind of acting like it never happened. The first fight scene, which happens basically in the first 2 minutes of the entire show, you see parts of it in the trailer. Finn Jones's face is covered, kind of like they did with Daredevil in season one. It is very clear that it is not Finn Jones doing that fighting, which is why it's so good. But it's clear that he went to class this time.
Yeah.
So I will say that, they're not bringing Luke in. When I talked to Simone Missick, she said that she's all in Iron Fist season two. would not divulge whether or not she ends up getting with Danny. I hope she doesn't, because this Danny is like a wet noodle in that area.
Yikes. Wow. So, I mean, you said that.
Well, no, and listen, I think this is, that gets to the heart of why this show is hard and a problem for a lot of people, is because the guy who is at the very center of it, and this is my personal feelings, obviously, but I don't think that Finn Jones can carry it. He just doesn't have the charisma. He doesn't have the chemistry with the other actors, in my opinion. And it's a bummer, because like watching the trailer, anytime Colleen or Misty Knight was on screen, I'm like, ooh, like my ears perked up, yep. You know? And it's a hard thing when your title character is the least interesting part of your show.
Yeah. And a lot of people want to talk about, like, there was that whole campaign for Asian American Iron Fist, and I completely get it. And I think they could have done it. And I think Louis Tan would have been great. But this doesn't even have to do with that. Yeah. It was, even if they cast another white guy, this was not like, I don't know if
that's
this was
the
guy.
That's the way it feels, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's a shame. And the thing is, like, I think
he's better.
I get the impression that he wants to do such a great job. Like, even when we interviewed him before season one, like, yeah. He was really, I think, felt the responsibility of bringing this character to life. And just for whatever reason, it's not, in season one especially, and in Defenders even, I didn't necessarily enjoy him all that much. It's just not, he's not, especially
Defenders.
When you put him up again with the likes, I didn't either, but like when you put him up against the likes of Mike Coulter,
yes.
Or Kristen Ritter, who I have my certain problems with on a physical level, but who,
yeah, is like, a good actress. She can carry it.
Yeah,
she,
so
the gravitas wasn't there.
So that's, I mean, that's the real issue. And I, you know, I think that that's going to be what's going to determine whether season two is successful or not, more than anything, more than the fight choreography. More, you know, the fight choreography has to get dramatically better because it was really bad.
Yeah, no, it is definitely
not even
better.
The fight choreography. I don't want to say that because different people, you know, as someone who has worked in that field, choreography and execution are two different things. So I will say the execution of the fights was not great.
What I can attest to is that the fights are better. Are they the best thing you've ever seen? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But are they better than season one? Yes. Also, they brought it down from 13 episodes to 10, which I think is very smart. Honestly, I wish they would all do that. Yeah, they all need to do that, because a lot of them seem to be slow at the beginning and the end, so they all might need to be 10 or 11.
Yeah, honestly, they could even go like 8 or 9, and I would be perfectly satisfied.
It's Voltron. You don't want to do that.
With the fight stuff, no, that just cool, weirds cool. me out is like, you got a show like Into the Badlands that does that phenomenally well. And Netflix has all the money, and Marvel has all the money right now. What is keeping them from hiring, like, why? Why can they not execute on that particular aspect in a way that a show that doesn't have that kind of financial backing can do so well?
The only thing I can think of, and this is just coming from interviewing different actors and showrunners and stuff that have done stuff in this Marvel universe on Netflix, the Marvel shooting schedule on Netflix seems to be extremely fast. Whereas Into the Badlands, AMC, like, Daniel Wu had everybody training for like a year and a half before he started shooting.
There you go. That's actually like, really accurate.
And there's like a year, not a year, but maybe 10 months between seasons. And he keeps them in training. There's like camps and all kinds of things. So I just have a feeling that Marvel, again, it's like, get these things out as quickly as possible.
Right.
You would think, like, for instance, we're coming up on Daredevil season three. So since we haven't seen Daredevil in a minute, we're going to hope that everybody's been training all that time.
Right.
You know, you're going to hope Luke Cage doesn't have that, because that's just not his fighting style.
Right. Exactly.
He just literally punches things and they fall, or flicks people in the forehead and they fall down. I think the problem with Iron Fist was that everybody should have been training from the time that Daredevil started. So that it was like second, like everybody's bodies were just there. That I think Marvel shoots too quick and they started too late. And the first showrunner did not take it as seriously as I think people are now. And the sad thing is, even if Iron Fist season two was really good, like so much better than the first one, first one overshadows it so much that I don't know if it's going to ever get out from under that.
Well, I think
it's never going to be a Cobra Kai.
It also has another problem that I think is going to persist, which is so they made a choice to use that mask, and some people do not like that mask, and I think that that is going to be another thing that
mask I think is only for those flashbacks when they're in Kunlun. I don't think they're using that mask in the future. I think the Netflix version of Defenders, they're all in hoodies and jeans.
Yeah, but the fact that they're using jacket, it at all, people did not have it. That was not an enthusiastic response. I will say that much. Like, I'm sure they won't use it beyond what they've already shot, but like.
But in terms of Iron Fist, the mask is the least of that show's problems.
Yeah, but people were when the first images of that dropped, and when Jeff Loeb was out wearing like whatever he man was wearing, like
I have no idea. We're gonna
because he was kind of wearing like I think he was trying to wear like a Daniel Sun Karate Kid.
He
kind
did.
Of thing,
he had on an entire gi. It was very inappropriate.
It was not good.
I don't know why he chose to do that because it doesn't. He wasn't even dressed like Iron Fist. Like I'm still confused as to who allowed any of that to happen.
Anyway, what I'm saying is this element, the race issue, I think is going to just plague the show forever.
It might.
I don't know if they're ever going to escape it, to be honest. I think it's because, like, even from the start, from the first season, wasn't the conversation, this is a no-win scenario. No matter what you do, people are not going to be happy.
I think it could have escaped it had it been a better show. I mean, look at Doctor Strange, right? Doctor Strange, huge controversy over that. Not necessarily over Doctor Strange the character, but over the film. And although some people did advocate for, you know, Doctor Strange of a different race. But now he's shown up in other movies. Like, people are on board with Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. It kind of overcame that by being good enough to that people were willing to say, okay, there's this problem, but you know what? They did a good job. Okay. And I think that if Iron Fist had delivered on a number of other levels, it could have overcome that controversy. But it hasn't up to now. And
I don't know if it, I don't know, even the Cumberbatch situation, even if they didn't get over it, they quieted down because the effects and everything were so good and the execution, like I said, I think they missed an opportunity making an Asian American Iron Fist, but I think moving forward, there's nothing they could do about it for this show. But like you said, if they could possibly just get it together, get it right, get the story right, and turn it into more of an ensemble thing. I remember thinking this between Luke Cage season one, season two. It was like Luke Cage season one, there were too many baddies. Some of the outfits were like, what? I think they made it more of an ensemble season two. There was one focused baddie, I would say, even though there were other people that showed up. If they do that, if they bring Davos more to the front and continue, and we're not even talking about Typhoid Mary, because Typhoid Mary is the other thing. So they're going to have multiple baddies because Typhoid Mary is in episode one. Also, Alice Eve is hilarious, and I think they cast her really well. But then it's really funny. People are complaining about what she was wearing. Why is she in a hoodie? It's like, because it's Marvel in New York.
I mean, they just need to listen. What needs to happen is the Beyonder needs to show up.
Oh.
And do some metaphysical stuff. And suddenly Danny Rand looks completely different.
Wow. Yikes.
Because they've recast the part.
Whew.
That's harsh. I feel bad. I'm sure Finn Jones really wants to do a good job. And I don't want to poop on him that much. But like,
But I
really think that's the biggest, from a physical standpoint in terms of the execution of the fights, from a chemistry standpoint with the other people on the show, that's the biggest hole. And if they could fix that hole in some way, and maybe I haven't seen season two, so who knows? Maybe I'll be like, wow, Finn Jones really turned it around. But that's as long as that's
I don't think
case,
we're going to say that. I think we're going to say that the showrunner turned it around.
Yeah, as long as that's the case, it's going to be hard for people to jump on board with this, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, I don't know. I don't think any of us watched the trailer and were like, man, can't wait for Iron Fist season two.
The only two other things I want to mention that were shown in it were the dead Iron Fist that you saw, the sort of like in the crypt. There's a lot of speculation that that is Orson Randall, who's the original Iron Fist. And the other thing is, if you notice, Davos has some type of powers. So, and in the comics at one point, he took Iron Fist's powers away from him.
Right.
So, which I believe that character was called Steel Serpent.
I mean, that's what they're said. They've set that up very much. With
yeah, so if we're getting a Steel Serpent, that could solve a lot of our issues with the original actor. But again, that would be like he like the problem I have with him in season one, where it's like he's depowered. Like in season one, if he didn't have a nap and a sandwich, he couldn't power up. So you don't want him to be depowered on like episode four or something.
I mean, that can be good. You know, I love Iron Man 3. And one of my favorite parts about Iron Man 3 is that they strand Tony without the suit for a long time. And it's up to him to just be resourceful and smart and the genius that he is in order to overcome what he's facing. And I loved that.
I have to rethink our friendship. I cannot stand Iron Man. But I can't stand Iron Man
3. I also am not a huge fan of it.
But for a different reason.
It's like my third favorite Marvel movie.
Interesting. I would look, here's
what's your first?
I think it's probably Winter Soldier, although I might.
Friendship intact.
Yeah.
I don't know. Babylon 5 is one of the best science fiction shows of all time for me, and they changed the captain after the first season, so I don't know. Yeah. Things
I
happen.
Used to argue with my dad about that all the time. I'm like, how can you watch this fake Star Trek show? Whoa, and they changed the captain.
Good,
he was so mad
so
at me.
Yikes.
The first captain, I mean, like, I didn't, that guy is very nice, and like, he just like was like too laid back. There was like no intensity. There's no fire there. So like, I don't know. These things happen. So like.
Yeah, after Sisko in Deep Space Nine, I couldn't handle it. Like, he punched Q. I needed
but
that.
But there's never, in the comics,
oh,
there's
yikes.
Never been.
The worst Q episode of all time.
In the comics, there's never been another Iron Fist, right? It's always Danny Rand?
No. There have been multiple.
Like, but I'm saying it's
the
main
in
character
the mythos,
of the story.
Yeah,
arc.
You know what? There's probably going to be a fanboy out there that
it's
yells
at us.
It's
not like a situation like a Spider-Man or like Captain America where someone else has held the mantle.
No, he has been, for the most of it, it's been Danny Rand. You have seen, they've taken trips to his past.
Right.
You've seen previous ones, but you're right. The only time that he hasn't been Iron Fist was when he was depowered by Steel Serpent.
I will say this, the other thing that could save this show, three words. Fin, Fang, Foom. I want that dragon. I want a crazy ass dragon.
We have to
We
need to rename the dragon, but then yes. And honestly, the other thing that could save it is if they do something where there's two episodes, because Colleen has her own arc. This is her first time back, like, in New York. So she has her own arc of finding her family and stuff like that. If they do, like, a one or two season thing where it's, like, her and Misty, like, fight in bed, you know, baddies.
Just do that.
We all just want
the dragon.
Everybody wants it. Yeah, we all want it. Make that happen, please.
Yeah, sounds good.
And don't make them fight over Danny, otherwise there'll be blood in the streets.
Wow. Anyway, speaking of awkward situations involving men and their relationships with women.
Hey, that was a
really...
That's the best I could come up
that
with.
That was Pilates, but you did
like
it.
That was like surgery.
Anyway, so here's a thing that happened. There is a gentleman who goes by Ninja. He is...
Not a ninja.
He is not a ninja.
like Finn Jones, not a ninja.
So he is... wow. From one not a ninja to another. So, yeah, he's like the top streamer on Twitch, a big gamer, and people were like, hey, you don't stream with women. And he was like, yep, I'm married. People constantly, if I stream with women, they'll make stuff up about me. They'll accuse me of flirting. They'll say they were screwing around and I'm tired. So I am just not going to stream with women anymore. And that's the end of that story. And the thing about that is that it's very bad, but there is a problem within the streaming community specifically and within fandom in general, wherein if you are a public figure, people love to do this thing where you don't get to have any private life whatsoever. And so I don't think this is a great solution. But if we're not talking about this other issue, then we're ignoring 50% of what's happening, in my opinion.
Well, my problem with it is that he's part of the problem. Like, he's the number one Twitch streamer, and he's been known to actually say and promote that type of gossip between other players. Oh, he and her are playing, so they must be sleeping together. So it's almost like you were like a jerk and slept around when you were younger and you get married and you have a daughter, and now it's like, nope, you can't be around any men because I know exactly what they're like because I was one of them. So I don't think, some people said it came from his wife. I don't think it did. I just think.
No, it came from him saying that was the motivation for it.
Yeah.
But I
just think it's lazy.
Oh, man, there's so much. Listen, it's just, I guess what I don't understand
is why is it important?
No, well, there's this, and it's the larger conversations happen online. can men and women be friends? Like, why does seeing two people on a screen playing a game together instantly lead to, oh, they're having sex?
Right, and they're not in the same room. That
I don't.
I said, well, is this a thing on Twitch now where people are playing in the same space?
I don't even understand. I just don't understand the motivation for having that thought in the first place. And it's, you want to get really deep on it. Like, I think there's a whole thing of, in our society, the idea of people showing affection for each other automatically becomes a sexual thing. I mean, I've had this discussion with people about, not to tie it into in a weird way, but like Lord of the Rings, right? And those movies. And, oh, Sam and Frodo are totally gay for each other. And it's like, whether they are or not, the point is, it's not, that story is not told in the film. And you have two men, ostensibly, showing love and affection for each other. And I think that that's okay. It doesn't automatically become, well, now they're in love, like, but on a romantic level. And I think that's
fan fiction, though.
But what I'm saying, no. Lots of people are like, and it's just, I think it makes people uncomfortable.
Supernatural, I guess.
I think two people showing each other a level of affection that is not sexual or romantic makes people uncomfortable in some way. And it's weird. And I don't get it. It's not presented in that way. And people write that narrative, not on a fan fiction level, but on a like joking around about it level, right? Because two guys showing affection for each other makes them uncomfortable. And
so,
I think that,
so
like,
the overall
issue, the issue here is like, you have two people who, even if they had a bit of like affectionate energy playing video games together, that doesn't mean they're having sex. That doesn't mean they're romantically involved. Like, why is that a thing? Why are we so uncomfortable with the idea of people being like affectionate and friendly that it has to go over to this other level? I don't get it. I don't understand at all. And I think that it being as big a controversy is insane. Like, I just don't. Hey, sorry. That's my rant.
No,
society,
get
over it.
But I think it's also when you look at the whole concept of, I think of people like Perez Hilton or whatever, gossip websites. Perez has nothing to do with gaming. This is a celebrity. And it's like always trying to come up with who's dating who's sleeping with who or whatever. I feel like this is the geek gaming version of that. Coming up with, oh, they played together. We saw them. And actually, did you see how when they were at E3 and they were whatever?
I mean, Twitch by its very nature is voyeuristic. So that's certainly.
It's a voyeuristic medium. So is YouTube. I think that whole thing starts there as well. The problem is, I think there's two separate things. There is perceived relationships. Then there's the real problem of women and how they're treated in gaming and geekdom. And he's somehow getting everybody to mix up the two conversations. You're saying one is better or worse than the other. Well, and I think it's apples and oranges.
And I guess the other thing, too, is this. He's not wrong, right? Danny said that, and I think it's actually true. Like, he's not wrong that people would say these things and make these innuendos, but...
But who is he punishing?
Right. And why should that matter? Exactly.
If somebody says that you're sleeping with somebody else and you're not, and you've already talked about 150 times. You're married.
I mean, look, here's my nuance and up. So two things. One, I will say, and this is not, I don't want to have a fight about this, but for me, fan fiction exists, especially when we're talking about, what I'm saying?
I wasn't talking about, I should have made that clear. I wasn't talking about fan fiction. It's more in situations where I've been in rooms with people watching and they're joking about it and they're making fun of it, like, look how gay
people
they are for each other.
Got it. They're right. Insecure with the actual
it's not like people who write fan fiction about Frodo and Sam.
I think
that's
I think
very, very different animal. I'm sorry, I should have clarified that.
Now I understand too.
Because in my mind, like, you know, the reason that exists is because we don't get enough of that kind of representation.
So of course, very different thing than I was talking about. I'm sorry.
But what I will say is that, from my own personal experience, anecdotal, obviously, but I'm not a famous person on the internet, but I have friends who are. And so I have gotten like the weird sort of like splash of it, where it's like they're in the pool, but like I still got wet. So like, I was in, this is, I don't know why that was the thing that I said.
I was going to say, like, this analogy needs an explanation.
I don't know. Here, all right. So I'll give you an example.
Take the kids out of the room, folks.
No, this is not going to be gross at all. I promise. So like, I went to a convention. This is like 2 years ago. My friend Lindsay Ellis, who is, I would argue, reasonably famous on the internet at this point.
As a gamer,
As a YouTube critic and she was like, yeah, I'm going to Vegas. She tweeted about the fact that we were splitting a room. There were two beds. We slept in different beds, folks. And yet there was pages of a forum, accusations that we were sleeping together, And then them like finding like old websites of mine, like seeking out as much specific details about me. Nobody. A very boring individual.
But wait, wait. Like, let's just back up. Why did she need to tweet everybody what her sleeping arrangements were?
Because I don't, like, it wasn't that. It was just like, I don't, honestly, I don't remember what the circumstances were. Like,
and I'm sorry you went through that, but that's just like, I mean,
it could be as innocuous as like, here's a picture of us, your roomies, you know.
Yeah, like, okay. Whatever. Okay. Like, and yeah, no, it wasn't like, we weren't like, I don't remember talking about anything in any great detail, but like, that happened. And, you know, like, not to, like, I feel bad because I feel like I'm leaving it at her feet. This is not her fault at all. But, like, that happened. And then she had a crazy stalker that, like, every single person that lived within, like, a 3-block radius that she ever spoke to, like, this dude would, like, track them down. Like, it got really, that was very scary.
Wow.
And, like, this is, you know, like, and again, like, I'm nobody at all. And a thing that I realized, like, Lindsay did not punish any of us for this. Like, it wasn't her fault. She didn't, like, say, like, I can't talk to you guys. And we didn't say, like, we can't talk to you. Like, that's why I don't think that this solution, so-called, that Ninja came up with is a good one. But, like, this is crazy, you know?
This is why we need an app like Defender.
Like, I guess so. But
we can get our own bodyguards.
But I don't think anybody realized what it was going to be like. You know, we've talked about this with another person who's been on the podcast a number of times, the guy who goes by Todd in the Shadows. Like, this is no secret. The man's name is not Todd. But he originally said that he came up with a different name because when he wasn't doing that, he was teaching. But he had no idea how prescient it was going to end up being that by having even, like, you could still, if you really wanted to, you could find out more stuff about him. But that he set up some kind of barrier, anyone at all, right from the very beginning, that was a part of his MO, it created a very different relationship that he has. And that's just talking about people that make recorded videos. Streaming is a whole other level. Like, there, you have absolutely no freedom because the expectation, the people who make their money do so because they share so much of themselves, because they agree to be live.
And the problem
so
is fans,
much.
Yeah, and fans with that type of access, fans feel like, I guess, and I'm sure
like they know you and that you owe them.
You owe them and that they own you a little bit. Like, how dare you go and do this thing and switch to, like, you know, a different latte without telling me? Which I find fascinating, but also creepy at the same time.
On the other hand, though, this isn't, I mean, it's new-ish.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, the first person to encounter this in the streaming. Like, I guess it's like, it's getting into work as a typist and then complaining that you get carpal tunnel syndrome. You know, like, if you're right, that is streaming. People who make money on streaming share so much of themselves. There's this whole expectation. All of that stuff is true. You know, but so if you get into that industry, if that's the way that you choose to pursue your living and dedicate your time and energy to, like, isn't there the expectation that that's what you're going to face on some level?
I mean, here's the thing is, right, like, the comparison I always make is, okay, a famous Hollywood actor has tabloid magazines after them. And we all agree that it's kind of gross, but hey, you're making tens of millions of dollars. You can have an entourage of people to protect you to some degree, like, mm-hmm. if you've got to. Like, it's still not great, but at least there's a mechanism. The problem for most streamers is that they don't have that mechanism. They just don't fundamentally. Like, there's no, like, even the people that are making the most money streaming are not making so much money that they can afford a Defender app or whatever, you know, whatever is the equivalent. They just, that doesn't exist. And we just, again, it's the same goddamn thing I feel like we talk about every week, which is that we just haven't figured out the internet yet, as a culture.
But I also think, again, the other conversation that's coming out of this, not here today, but that I've seen on the web, is one that I don't necessarily like. And that is, see, if you women would stop complaining about guys, he wouldn't have to do this. And it's like, that's the apples and orange thing. It's like, no. No, that's sexual harassment. That is wrong. That's not what he's complaining about.
Is that what people are saying?
Yeah, there's been some of those voices that have been mixed in. Like, well, of course, yeah, if he, you can't say, it's the same voices that are saying in other areas, I just don't talk to women anymore because I don't want anybody saying, or I'm not tweeting at any girls anymore. I'm erasing all my tweets now because I don't want to get in trouble. like, of course he can't talk to women because he doesn't want to get in trouble. And it's like, yeah, no. There's a big difference between what Ninja's doing and what Louis C.K. did. Like, no. And that is part of the conversation that has come up, and it's frustrating because I'm like, you're losing sight of the point.
Yeah.
So the point is, there's this level of celebrity where you no longer have your own, you know, life personal life, and everything's under a microscope. At the same time, these are people that should be allowed. He's married. Like, why? Everybody knows he's married. You guys are, if he's thinking, not you guys, but if guys are thinking, oh, if he tweets with a girl, he's cheating on his wife. Why would you go there? Why can't you let this man live?
Well, and
his life?
I guess the other thing is, I mean, what do I know about this guy's relationship? But it is weird to me, the idea that if there's rumor and innuendo out there, it's going to put my wife through something, or I'm going to suffer in some way. And like, I don't know. It's you would hope that wouldn't matter, but I guess I don't, you know, the other thing being that I don't know what it's like to experience that level of stuff because I don't put my personal life out there on the internet.
Not
on,
telling
on
anybody
any level.
Who's I'm bunking with in a hotel. That's
yeah. Bad. You know, or not even that, but just like, that's just where it's this weird gray area of whose responsibility is it? Because if you choose to share that much of yourself online with an online audience, knowing what we know about the internet, about online audiences, about that type of behavior, like, it's just weird to me to be like, well, but I didn't see this coming. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Like, it's not, there are levels of that. There are degrees of that. We might be like, this is the first time someone has done this to me or whatever. But I just, I would like, again, I know that if I put myself out there as much as these people do, like, stuff could get crazy and really bad and really weird and freaky and like, I don't know.
I just, listen, man, I don't, it gets to a point where it starts to strafe to, well, what did you, look what you're wearing. What did you think was going to happen? And I'm not trying to accuse you of that, but this is, I don't know. Here's what I think. I think that the Mike Pence approach of I'm not going to talk to any women in any setting anymore is bananas.
Yes,
I agree. that is not a sufficient exercise in handling the situation. But there's no person on the internet that does not have some kind of obligation to think about it. That's the thing. Like, we all have to be more considerate in how we use the thing, whether it's how we use it for ourselves or how we use it in relation to others. I don't know. It's pretty easy for me to not try to find out personal details about people who make videos that I like. You know what I mean? Like, that's never been like a huge problem for me where I'm like, gotta know, gotta be best friends with the person, gotta know all these details. Like, I've never been compelled to do that, so...
But at the same time, and this is, like you said, there's an old proverb that says you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other. I'm kind of in between the two of you guys, because I do agree that, yeah, if you agree to do this, you know, have this kind of lifestyle where you're video streaming everything and everybody knows all your business, you're going to have to deal with some of the knuckleheads out there. But be prepared for that. At the same time, why aren't we addressing the knuckleheads as opposed to him? But the interesting thing about it is, if he did not have those kind of followers, then he wouldn't be making the money he's making off of Twitch. Those of us in this room are not his type of followers. Well, we won't make him any money.
I mean, really, if we're getting to the root of it, and I'm going to go full old man yells at cloud here, this whole concept is insane to me that people spend this much time watching somebody stream themselves playing games and things like that. Like, and listen, that's different strokes for different folks, but I'm saying for me personally, go make something, but that's just me.
But people do what they do. I don't know. You know, but, like,
to say, yes, it is crazy that people are like that when they watch these people and get attached to these people. It is crazy that this industry exists in the first
place. That's what
you
were saying, yeah. The whole concept of
the
thing paradigm
is bananas.
Itself.
I don't get it myself personally. So again, old man yells at cloud. I just, I don't know. Like, it's, I don't know. I have
had some pretty interesting conversations with people. What do you do about, you know, you go to a convention and you are an internet famous person. You create whatever kind of content and people like it. And there are, you discover people that no matter what con you go to, they tend to show up. They don't really have a good sense of personal space. You try to find delicate ways to have conversations with them because you don't want to push them away, because you don't want to be mean, because they also are helping you have a living, like, but they just won't let up. What do you do? And the answer is that there is no easy answer. It's real difficult. And I've, again, like, I know a lot of people who have, over the last decade, made some kind of living through the internet, and as a result have, you know, however many people that follow them in some capacity. And I've gone to cons where it's been this way, where, you know, like, you know, I've even, you know, like, you know who I've seen handle it pretty well? Andre Meadows. He's pretty good about it, but it's really hard. And I think that it's taken him years to figure out how to do it. I wish he was here. I feel like he would have a great take on this situation, because I've gone to cons with him and I've seen people walk up to him and be very awkward and not really understand how it is that they need to go away, where it's like you say your thing and then you peace out because you're not actually friends. But like, Andre has, I think, over time learned the skill.
I agree.
But the thing is, like you pointed out earlier, this is not new in the world.
No, it's not.
Celebrities, like Hollywood celebrities, have been dealing with this and they've gone through this whole process of like, going from that point where I could walk around anonymously on the street to I have to wear a hat and glasses when I walk on the street to I have to go around with a bodyguard. You know, like, there are all these different strata. And I think that this industry being new, these people have not had to adjust to that life yet. And in an ideal world, nobody would have to. Al Pacino should be able to walk down the street and not be mobbed by, you know, paparazzi or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's just... That should be the way it is. But, like, I don't know. It's just rough. It's like it's this industry that has come up out of nothing of streaming stars is going to have to adjust to that in the same way that the film and TV industries and music and whatever other
I just look. Here's what I would say.
Media has.
I look at it this way. We all live in and around New York City. Here's the thing that I can say for New Yorkers, for the most part, almost overwhelmingly. A celebrity walks down the street, some of you're a huge fan of. Do you walk up to them?
That's because New Yorkers are amazing.
But this is the thing. Like, I believe that
we're too cool for that.
It's simply that
we don't care.
That culturally, if you're in a place where there's a lot of celebrities around, like, that's the thing. Like, I've lived in and around New York a long time. Like, I go to New York, I walk down the street, like, certain neighborhoods, like, there's just some people you know you're going to see, just facts. Like,
I never
they're there.
See celebrities in New York.
Really?
I do see them.
Oh,
no, I do
the,
see them in
the
LA.
Time.
Like, sometimes I'll be like, I literally have seen more celebrities in random Trader Joe's in LA.
I see them in this building. I mean,
oh,
be,
in this
you know,
building, yes, yes, but you will see them.
I've been in the cafe in the cafeteria with the Roots all the time. You know,
right.
I love the
they're
Roots.
Amazing.
They're amazing, but I never.
But,
talk to
but
them.
That's the thing is like because like we all
you
have
don't
a
go
culture,
up and tell them you're DJ.
I should.
There you go.
Here's my business card.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, and this is the thing, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like culturally, like places like LA and New York City, like the people that live there learned, like. You leave people alone.
That's
you,
true.
Like, if you leave them alone, you get to continue enjoying their art. I guarantee you, if you go up and spoil their business, they're going to be unhappy, and then you're going to feel weird watching their stuff forever or consuming whatever media they create.
But that's an exposure thing, too. I mean, the first time I saw a big celebrity on the streets of New York when I moved here 21 years ago, it was like...
But how long has the internet existed?
No, but like, I'm saying, but like, but you don't get that. The separation between... them and us, quote unquote, you know, is not when you live in New York is not there as much because eventually you come to see that if I'm at Trader Joe's, I'm going to see Jake Gyllenhaal or whatever. Like, it just happens over time. And I think that one of the things we talk about with cons is that it's an opportunity. And we've said this before as a positive is it's an opportunity to erase that wall almost between the fan and the person who creates the thing they love. You get the chance to rub elbows with them. You get the chance to ask them a question at a panel, whatever, in a way that you can't. Out in your day-to-day life, even on the internet, you know, it's not the same. And I think that like that's for better and worse because it does feel like a big thing. I mean, we've seen, you know, like I got, you know, we've interviewed tons of celebrities in our time. And so when I have a chance to ask a question in a Q&A, I don't be nervous, but people are. People get up at these Q&As and talking to people who make this thing they love so much, and they get super scared and super, you know, have a hard time getting it out sometimes. And that's a perfectly natural reaction. So I think it's that, that's the thing, is it's difficult in this, where does that barrier exist anymore? On the internet, I think it still feels like it does. Even though if you're in contact with someone, it's not the same as being in the same space as them. So I feel like that's part of it too, is that there's this remove, you know.
I think, and the only other thing I'm going to say that's very specific to this particular story with Ninja is that I feel like there's a difference between the celebrity of a Jake Gyllenhaal and the celebrity of someone who's famous on Twitch. Like what the YouTube famous and Twitch famous have brought us, now Instagram famous as well, have brought us, is these are the cool kids that we would have loved to have been, like that kind of thing, that high school, like, oh, they're living this life, look all the things that they're doing. Meanwhile, their lives can be crazy on the other side of that camera, but you don't know that. There's that voyeuristic thing. Those stars, I think, are different a little bit than some of the actors and stuff that we're looking at. And from a professional standpoint on Ninja's end, no one asked him the question, why don't you game with women? He literally just blurted it out because this was the thing that was the most important thing on his mind that day. That is somebody who I feel, from a professional standpoint, I feel like somebody like Jake Gyllenhaal or these other actors are media trained. Ninja's not media trained. He doesn't know necessarily how to have a conversation too. And I think that was the other thing that I was going to say about Andre. I think one of the reasons why Andre's really good with that, he's had a little, after years of doing it, either you're training yourself or you get people that help coach you on how to deal with those moments and how to non-offensively get out of there. Are some people just going to be idiots? Sure. But I also feel like, getting back to Ninja a little bit, some of the stuff, again, he's brought upon himself because he doesn't.
Oh, I have no, like, here's the thing. Like, I think once you say out loud, I'm not going to stream with women because...
apropos of nothing.
Like, and that's the thing, is like, that literally there's no end to that sentence that's going to be sufficient.
No. Right?
Because you're, because that, like, that's the thing. And I don't want to dismiss that. It's just that to me, that's the most baseline obvious. You don't say, I am not going to stream with X group of humans who are by their very nature this right. thing, like not a thing they chose. There's literally never going to be an explanation that's going to be sufficient. Like if he was like, hey, I don't stream with Nazis. There you go. A good one.
Right.
You can't go wrong there.
But unfortunately, no one's saying that.
Like there, say that. Sounds good. But like streaming, saying that, that's weird. Like quietly being like, boy, I got an issue. I got to figure out like, how it is I'm going to crack this code on your own time? Go ahead. But
or even,
you say it out
even
live,
if he said
aloud,
it publicly, just saying it differently would have
or
sparked
addressing,
a conversation.
Addressing the issue. I mean, that's the thing. The real issue, as we've pointed out, is that if he streams with women, people are going to go crazy and whatever, blah, 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 blah. And like, if he wants to address that, by all means, because I think that's the problem. And but I think the reaction of it, you know, like you said, punishing other people and it's not a good way to handle it, and it's not a good way. It shouldn't – both things – I think Danny – you know, we've had this long conversation about it, but Danny nailed it from the beginning. Both things are true.
Both you know, things are like true, and people don't know how to internet.
People don't know how to internet. Don't – you know, it shouldn't be a big deal for someone to stream with women, but this is not the way to handle that, and it's just all around – it's just a mess. The whole thing's a mess.
No, and I just – I mean, like – I just
shut it down.
I just wish
stone tablets. Let's go back to stone tablets.
Where you have to mine the ore for the
that's right.
iron just, and
but
then
like,
smelt
just listen
it.
To what people say to you. That's the other thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you said this earlier where you were like, people feel like they can't talk to women at all. Here's the only time in which I think – like, at all? No. But there's plenty of women I follow on Twitter who I've seen them say out loud, like, hey, if we're not friends and you're a man, don't roll into my DMs. Don't at me with stuff. I'm not interested in your point of view. You want to follow me? That's fine. And I go, noted. And at that point, I can either choose.
I have that with everybody.
I can either choose.
You could be a marsupial. Don't roll into my DMs if I don't know you.
But this is. But the fact of the matter is, like, there are people that like this. I think is like a questionable behavior. This is always like, but okay. Like, if someone says like, hey, I don't want to hear about how you don't like this character from Star Wars. I want like, please don't at me with why you didn't like The Last Jedi. But people will go like, yes, but I have the right to say this to you. But at what point do you not go, but I asked you, and so as common respect, as common decency, if I say don't do this, like, don't do it. I'm not saying like, hey, I hate women, don't tell me why that's wrong. Like, that would be weird. But if someone says like, I like the movie and I don't want to hear about how you hated it, like,
then why are you posting it on social media?
Because you want to talk to other people. Like, if it's like, hey, I really like this thing. This is like to me. Like, I was on Facebook. My friend Lindsay Rebar, who has also been on this podcast, was like, hey, this is a Star Wars Last Jedi love post. Hey, let's talk about stuff that we liked about it. Specifically, uh-huh. I do not want to hear why you didn't like about it. This is a post about right. what we liked. And some dude still rolled in and was like, okay, but. And she was like, but literally, what I asked for the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's common respect. If someone says, I don't want this.
I agree.
This is what this thread is about. Please don't roll in with this. I'm specifically saying, please don't. Like, that doesn't feel like it's such a big ask.
No, I agree. I agree with you on, and like, yeah. But it's just, I think that's part of the social media problem is that it, and this goes with the streaming thing too, is it convinces, the company who starts this thing, that's what they want. They want you to
interact.
Anyway,
this is Jack's fault. There you go.
They want you to jump in.
Let's just say what it is.
No, I'm saying, like, they create this mechanism for people to comment. It's like, it's the very tools that are there are designed to be abused almost, you know, in a way. It's really weird.
It is weird. Anyway, boy, we talked about it a lot. I'm glad we had this is a substantive
yes.
conversation where literally not one of us had the exact same perspective, which I feel is pretty rare.
Yeah.
So if you were like, oh, I'm so tired of this echo chamber, there definitely was no echo chamber today. and I think that's good. Very quickly before we wrap, I do want to say that FlameCon is this weekend.
Yes.
And Kara and I are both going to be in attendance. But I don't think either of us are doing any panels, but we'll be walking around.
I'm actually
going to
be like actually enjoying a convention for once. Yeah. But Angelique, who was here last week,
Angelique
she has a yes, she has a panel at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So you guys, like,
yeah, there's really a lot of people going to be there.
Really,
my friend
really...
Princess Weeks is going to have two panels for the Mary Sue. The Polygon is going to be there. They've got one of their podcasts is going to be there doing a lot of gaming stuff. Steve Orlando's there. Noelle Stevenson is there, who's doing She-Ra.
Jen Bartel is there.
Amy Reeder is there.
Yeah, it's. I mean, honestly, the art, the cosplay is always phenomenal at FlameCon. But the panels, I just have had some really great discussions there. And I've actually had people say, like, well, it's an LGBTQ convention, right? You're not gay. I'm like, yeah. But you can still go to a convention. There's nobody stopping you at the door for being a cishet male or whatever. It's just don't be an idiot. Hey, we've just talked about that for an hour. So if you are around, FlameCon literally should not be missed because it is a lot of fun. And I literally walk out of there every year with really great gear and really having had really great conversations.
Yeah,
and I
want to
go
money.
Support Angelique because,
yeah,
panel.
For sure. All right. And with that, thank you for listening to the podcast. If you're not subscribed, please do subscribe. If you've never given a review, please give a review. Check out the other Sci-Fi Wire podcast, Strong Female Characters, Colleen Podcast, Wynonna Earp. There's a million of them.
Yeah.
The Phantom Files and the Amazon stuff. If you want to go on Amazon,
you guys have
there's
Amazon stuff. Yeah.
Amazon stuff also available. You got Sheer Debate Club. You got your Untold Story. You got your Geeksplain with Angelique Richey. So please check those out. And before we wrap, will you, my friends, tell these folks, if you feel safe, where they can find you online?
You can find me, The Blurred Girl, THEBLERDGURL. All over the internet. You don't have to worry about the DM thing because my DMs are closed.
And you can find me on Instagram and increasingly infrequently on Twitter at RockTheFaces.
And my name is Danny Roth, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week. We'll see you again next week.